welcome once again to Coffee and the Cosmos with Sagima Bay, and I'm your host, Craig Wells. Father, we just honor you today for all that you're doing. Thank you, Father, for all these wonderful, beautiful people. Say it to yourself, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, and of course you're a person. You walk in the glory of Yahweh. Say, I walk in the glory of Yahweh. I'm a son of the Most High God. That's male or female. Say, I'm a son of the Most High God. I walk in divine light. I want to deal with a pet peeve. How you like that? You're going to get a pet peeve one. Don't turn me off because you need to hear this. And even if you don't function in this no more, I just want this frequency going throughout the earth. You know, Facebook has been one of my, biggest advertisement catalyst for my podcast and other portions of my ministry that go throughout the world. And of course, I've got to be on there a lot to post the different podcast videos, so on and so on. It's just part of the nature of ministry, a lot of connection throughout the world through that. Very thankful for Facebook, whether I believe what their agenda is or not, no. But I'm thankful for the tool, and I like to use it for the glory of Yahweh. And I want to hear a joke. I used to tell Yahweh I don't want a Facebook ministry because I thought that was insignificant. Well, you know how God is. You go ahead and tell him you don't want something, and he may say, well, that's probably exactly what I'm going to use. And when I started my podcast about 3.5 years ago, that's where he told me to post it. And then now, according to Spotify, I have one of the fastest growing spiritual podcasts in the world. So that's only Yahweh, and that's what he does. So we're connecting together. So I want to help solve something in your life. And if it's not in your life, you just agree with me that I go into the mountain of the Lord. Those that understand that, go into the mountain of the Lord and sit in your rightful place and the seated place of Yeshua, and brood over your area, brood over your life, over your family, over your ministry, over your church, over the people that you're connected with, brood over my ministry, our ministry, the worldwide ministry, that we're arcing together to bring these revelations throughout the earth. You're so important. You are so, so important. Coffee in the Cosmos isn't me. Coffee in the Cosmos is me arcing with you. Years and years and years ago, probably 20 years ago or more, the Lord showed me all these little lights all over the world. And I was connected to them and they were connected to me. I didn't even really know what that was. I thought in my mind, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll go preach in these different cities or something, because that's what I was thinking, right? But as a pastor, I haven't done all of that in that way, because I've been in the pastorate of my city in this region, ministering and doing conferences and so on and so on. But nothing like that dream. There was dots all over the place, which was like little flaming lights. Well, then the Lord showed me through the internet and through the podcast that was him, the beginning of him bringing that to pass, which we have much more we're going to bring out to you in the future through Coffee in the Cosmos. And so I'm very excited for that. So excited to be part of your life. And thank you for praying for us. And I pray for you every day. I'm always praying over the Coffee in the Cosmos, the people that are joined to us, listening and hearing by faith. We love to hear from you, and we thank you for those that we have heard from. So we honor you this day. But I want to go to something that seems simple, but it's important. Going back to the reason why I explained me being on Facebook, a lot of Christians like to mention the devil. Now, do not get me wrong. I read the word. I know the word. He's out there seeking whom he may devour. This is in the natural realm, though he is a spiritual being that's actually on not the other side of the veil where we go to, but he is in the other dimensions. He is in the spirit world. And I get that. Okay. And he does have an active role to do what he does. And but on the same hand, what you focus on is what you behold, and what you behold is what you become, and what you speak is what you will frame into your world. So if I'm out here rebuking Satan, I'm rebuking devils, and I'm sure you can give me scriptures to rebuke Satan and rebuke devils. So don't turn me off yet. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do that, you just go ahead and do that. But I kind of want to give you another perspective on that for a moment, if you don't mind. Because as powerful that is, because I grew up rebuking Satan and rebuking devils, a lot of times, though, we build up in the framework of a power of a satanic or demonic or a Luciferian trading floor power that has given him a little more glory. No. Let's just go ahead and be honest. A lot more glory than he should have in our life, in maybe our subconscious, maybe not in your conscious. You're not, Satan's nothing. But that's not true. When we get on an attack, we start rebuking Satan or rebuke the devil. We see the demonic world doing its thing out in the world, destroying people. Well, most of the time, it's not the demonic world at all. It's just people making unwise choices and then opening themselves to be a platform or influence, or, like I said, building a framework for the Luciferian trading floor for the enemy to come and move in. Well, you as being a spirit being, you are a spirit being first, and you are host in a body, and you have a soul, which is your soul and your body is precious to Yahweh. That's another thing I'll deal with on another day, because a lot of times we read scriptures and we think we're supposed to fight our soul and fight our body, because in the natural realm, our soul and body usually lives out of the lower nature of us, and therefore it tries to crave or desire things that we would consider unrighteous or unholy, or, you know, it's the one that's going to get upset. It's the one that's going to want something shouldn't have. It's the one that's going to do something. And all of that is reality. But in the church world, we were basically taught to really make idols out of these things, come against yourself, fight against yourself, beat yourself up. I've never seen Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, which is a three-part being in the union like we are. They are symbiotic union with each other as one, but then they are the three. Well, so are we, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I'm kind of getting off on this, but I, you know what? I think we need to know a little bit about this as I talk about not going after the devil no more, and you'll understand what I mean by that, because you won't have to. So Yeshua never goes against God, and because Yeshua is representing the body part, you know, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is representing the soul's part, and of course, God himself is representing the spirit part, all right? They never are against each other. They're in triunion. And you could easily say, well, that's because they all come under the Godhead and they're perfect. This is correct. That is 100% true. There's no division in none of them. But they're also the example of loving each other to the point that they are submitted to each other, to the point that they are one in unionness. All the collective consciousness of Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit is in one glory. Now, if it's capable for the Father and he put his same capability into us, then we can be body, soul, and spirit all in one union. Though I understand we walk in the natural realm and we will have temptations, and there'll be a day you get upset and say you shouldn't say something, or you'll see something on TV, oh, why didn't I turn that off? Or someone will say a joke that you, God, I should have never listened to that. I should have never laughed at that. Or God forbid, you might actually go out and do some real sin. And then you're really getting down on yourself because your body's just, oh my God, your soul is leading you down the path of unrighteousness, and the church done told you that, and they done told you, you know, the devil got you, the world got you, your flesh has got you, and so many people believed that, and they went that way and got destroyed because of what they were told, because they thought God was leaving them, and God was rejecting them, and God was, no, your soulless man was running amok, and it was dragging your spirit man, and you didn't understand the righteousness that's in your spirit man that supersedes over that soul of love and that body of love that would have wooded. And I remember I was going through something a long, long, long time ago, but I still don't forget it. And it was sin. We'll just leave it at that, all right? And it was a long time ago, thank God, probably 30-something years ago. I was a kid, you know, I was a teenager. And I remember going through this trial. I started going to some nightclubs to check it out. Did this for about 6 months in my life. And I was really having some flesh problems and really going through stuff. And I remember Yahweh telling me, my grace is sufficient for you. And then I will go with you wherever you go. I'll go with you. I'm going to walk with you. Now, the church wouldn't tell me that. I go out on Saturday night, and I never miss church, never miss tithing, never miss reading my word. But my flesh was acting up and it was pulling me crazy. And But I wasn't stupid. I was not going to not go to church and serve my Yahweh because, oh, well, brother, you sound like you were being a hypocrite. I was, but I wasn't being a hypocrite to Jesus. I was being a hypocrite to the world. My flesh might have been dabbling in the worldly ideas and thoughts and imaginations and pleasures, but who I really was is the Son of the Most High God walking in the earth. So I was being a hypocrite to the world, not to the Jesus. But when you go through things like that in the church world, they're like, oh, well, you're a hypocrite. No, you have no idea. That's a judgment that you're becoming the hypocrite by being the judge. See, we have the whole thing backwards. And this is why I'm going to get to the point that I'm trying to get to. But I think God wanted you to hear all these things. But I remember Yahweh telling me, you know, I'm with you and I'm going to walk with you no matter what. I said, well, what if I fail? You know, instead of just going out and dancing, what if I really fell and did something? He said, I would have went with you. I remember it. I didn't do nothing that day at all, and just went and cut up a little bit. And when I came home and I was thinking, I was like, God, you know, I didn't do nothing, but I surely had it in my thoughts. And he said, but I would have went with you. I'm about to cry right now because church never told me that. Church told me I was going to be a dirty, rotten dog. You know, I'm trying to find myself or whatever. Going through some really teenage emotions, upper teens emotions, you know. And just becoming a man and going through the man stuff that men go through. And church would ridicule and try to kill you. And I'm like, God, you mean you're going to go with me? You would actually have been with me? How much more could I love you? And then the scripture runs to my head, but it's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. Repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to sin no more. Repentance is saying, Father, I receive the light of your love, the blood of your love, and it has reinstated me to the full status of sonship. And because I'm in the full status of sonship, I am who I am inside of the I am that I am. So therefore, I move, I live, I have my being in him. And it would have been him that would have wooed me into the righteousness out of my degradation that I almost got myself into and to the Lord. But where the church was telling me something totally different, preaching something totally different. And of course, during that time, I learned how to rebuke Satan, rebuke the devil. I had to rebuke the devil. It was not the devil. I was a teenager and I just got the right to go out in clubs and I was popular. We'll just leave it at that. I liked to dance, so I danced a lot. And it was great in the natural realm. And I was going, you know, just natural as possible, having a good old time. I wasn't trying to leave God. I was just going through some things that I had to walk through as a man and get my bearings right. And so I started rebuking the devil. And, oh, Satan's trying to tempt me. Satan's trying to make me lust. Satan's trying to get me to go out and party. Satan's trying to get me to do that. No. That was just my own natural soulish man. I'm giving credit to the devil. But now I'm frameworking a framework for the devil that he can have his way in my life. So now he does get a foothold because I didn't give him authority by mentioning him, declaring him, and telling him that he's the authority that's ruling me right now. The problem was it was my soulless realm. And not that Satan don't tempt people, not that he don't go do these things, but the majority of the time he's not omnipresent. Demons are not omnipresent. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. They don't have that many demons in the world, but it's our own self. Now, of course, a demon could put a music on or put a TV on or have a friend say something to a friend, to a friend, to a friend. It gets to you, and then that's temptation. And that's how they cross current, you know, their junk. They spread it out there, all right? And but so the influence might have been a demonic influence, but the decision-making is our own soulless realm. But that's not to condemn us, because I just told you, you have to love your soul through it. But what we've done is we just started blaming other things, starting to deal with building frameworks of demonic powers, giving Satan the power. Now, I'm not saying if you're working in the ministry, deliverance ministry, and you got to pray someone and you cast out devils. I have prayed for people and cast out devils. There are real demons. I've seen demon-possessed people. I was on Bourbon Street. I'm from New Orleans. We were praying for this guy. He looked up at me, and he started cursing me out and telling me basically how powerful the Son of God was, but he wasn't coming out cursing me out. He spit on me, and this is the honest God's truth. I wish I would have kept the jacket. It was so long ago. His spit burnt into my leather jacket. It was crazy. But the demon got out, he got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. So yes, there are realities for that. But that's not everyday life. That's not what's fighting you. What's fighting you is usually traumas and damages, things in our soul, poor upbringing. Usually a lot of times it's a lack of love or a lack of attention or lack of feeling self-worth or all these things that cause us to draw us to fill a need. There's different things in our life that will cause us to fill a need, whether it's fill it by success, whether it's fill it by drugs, whether it's fill it by whatever comes along the way, right? Women, men, whatever, your fortune, your fame, your acceptance. There's a million things that's drawing on us that causes our flesh to draw out to try to feel worthwhile or try to feel like we're going in the right direction. That leads us off of the track, and we're going out and rebuking the devil on people, and we're seeing people, they're oppressed with alcoholism. We're seeing people depressed with drugs. We're seeing people oppressed with perversion, all this stuff, and we're all attacking the demons, and we're just building a framework for that devil because you'd been praying so long and nothing ain't changed when we really need to go to the courts about it. And we'll I have many tapes on that. You need to, podcasts on that and videos. You need to listen to that about going to the courts. But I want to get this point across, is that what you're beginning to build your framework with will manifest. And you need to build your framework with engaging the presence of Yahweh engaging the shalom peace of Yahweh, engaging the love of Yahweh. Now, this is if you're going through something or for someone else. And then you manifest the glory of Yahweh in your life over your situation. Yes, even if you are messed up, down, depressed, going through something, maybe you're the one running out in the drunk club, or maybe you're just so depressed you don't know, well, I don't want to go to church no more, or, you know, I'm not giving God no more money, or I'm not, you know, or whatever the situation, or I'm sick and I can't get over it, and the sickness just don't come. It ain't the devil. And I don't even care if he has an influence in it or a voice in it. It's not the devil. You have holy angels surrounding you because you are blood-bought. Get this in your spirit. So I want to build a framework of going into the heavens and engaging the great I am, Abba Father, Yahweh, the Most High God, the Yod, the Hey, the Vav, the Hey, where I am seated in him, the Yod, the Hey, the Shin, the Vav, the Hey, and I'm seated in Christ, I'm seated in his blood, and I go before the Father, and then I release holy angels, ministering angels, angels that are on assignment, angels that are directly meant for my protection and my provision, and I begin to engage with them to go forth. And guess what? They whoop those demons. They whoop those demons. They deal with that. Now I'm building a framework that I'm sitting in a place of not warfare. I'm not sitting around with my arm, you know, my shield of faith on. I ain't carrying my sword of the spirit, and I'm not having my feet shod with the preparation. I'm not putting on a helmet of salvation. That's all armor for war, and no one was meant to war their whole life. Now, I understand the scripture in the Bible. It's a very important scripture, but I also realize that if you think of a country, everyone is not a soldier. Everyone is not meant to war, and war is only for a season. There must be a time of deliverance. There must be a time of peace. There must be a time of governance. So I take my armor, I lay it down before the Lord in the trading floor, and he puts upon me a white robe. Now he makes me a counselor. Now he makes me a governor. Now he puts a slash on me, a sash on you, not a slash. Oh, Lord, the Lord just slashed me. My broken English, Cajun, Hebrew language. I'm Creole. It's crazy, right? And so he puts a slash on me, right? And so out of this slash, it's got on it his name. And it's got on the name of the Father. It's got on the name of the Son. It's got on the name of the Holy Spirit. It's got on the name of the glory of the King of Kings. It's got on the name of the glory of the Lord of Lords. And now I'm sitting in my throne, which he allowed me to through Christ Yeshua. And I'm beginning to govern my world. I begin to govern over and overshadow other people and things as God has commanded me to, as he's spoken into my life to. And I begin to command the angels of the Lord and send them forth by getting permission from Holy Spirit, going right before Yahweh through the blood of Yeshua, because you're inside of Christ Jesus, you and him and you. You are living in him. You're having your move in him. You're having your being in him. You're having your presence in him. So everything I'm talking about is inside of Christ Jesus, Yeshua the Christ. And I'm taking that stance, and I'm moving as a governor in the governance of Yahweh. And out of moving as a governance and the governance of Yahweh, I'm allowing those angels to go build a framework, a warfare against my adversaries, bringing in all the things that I need while I'm building a framework of who I'm honoring, which is Yahweh. I'm not honoring the demons that are doing their work. I'm not honoring Lucifer for being an evil, bad man. I'm honoring Yahweh for being the great I am. And Lucifer don't even equate to a percent of a percent of a percent of who God is. I'm honoring Yeshua the Christ to be my Savior, my King, my Lord, and all authority, because all authority has been given to his name, which I sit in. I'm honoring Ruach Kodesh, Holy Spirit, which is actually the very comfort and the very solidarity of the fullness of the presence of God. And out of that, I'm coming out of the four faces of Yahweh, the ox, the lion, the eagle, the man, the king, the priest, the oracle. I'm speaking out of that arena. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, I'm speaking out of it. And now I'm decreeing. So instead of building a framework on the Luciferian trading floor of demonic principalities, I'm building a trading floor. I'm building a framework and a platform on the sea of glass, on the trading floor and the threshing floor before my Father's throne, before Yahweh, before the tree of life, before the living waters, before the Son, the Lamb. Being that oracle, being that legislator, being that king, being that priest, out of the four faces of Yahweh. Now I'm moving from that arena instead of into satanic arena. And the angels will go take care of that. The Spirit of God will go take care of that. The blood covenant of Yeshua will go take care of that. And I gauge him and eat from the tree of life that will cause, in case I'm the one having the problem, I'll eat it from the tree of the life by faith, by going on the other side of the veil in Christ Yeshua and begin to eat it from the tree of life that I may live. And it will minister to my soul because I love my soul. I love my body. I'm learning how to love my body again. Because some people don't love their body. I didn't love my body for a long time. I was addicted to food and chocolate and gained so much weight. And of course, now I'm down 50 pounds and probably got another 40 to go. And hopefully within 6 months to a year, I'll get the rest of that off. Because I'm learning to love my body. See, because I didn't realize, you know, I was not loving my body by not taking care of it. But there was an emotional reason of something that happened in my childhood that caused me to be like that. To find pleasure in food, because there were some great things that happened at the dinner table in the family time, and I related that to it, and it caused a routine in your life. These are the things happen. Listen, this is real world. A lot of people say I'm the most transparent preacher. This is just real world, what we all go through. And Yahweh brings healing. Look, I'm 58 and he's just now healing me of this. And hopefully, you know, by the time this is over, I'll be fit and thin for the rest of my life like I was when I was growing up. And I'll be able to enjoy chocolate again. I love chocolate. Oh God, do I love chocolate. I've just been away from it for 10 months. I'm going to keep away until I can eat it in modesty and it won't hurt me. Because I don't think anyone should live without chocolate. On the same hand, I don't think anyone should live rebuking Satan and rebuking demons. And you might go, want to quote the scripture, whatever, you abide in heaven, you abide on earth, want to loosen heaven, loosen earth. Well, let me help you with this. Go into the other side of the veil and see what that scripture means. It means to bind yourself to Yahweh and loose the Spirit of God on your situation. Bind yourself to Yahweh and loose yourself to that, not yourself, but Yahweh's presence to that situation, including on you or other people. If not, you're binding the devil. What are you binding him to? I know you think you're putting bands around him. You could be binding him to yourself or binding him to your situation or loosening him. Where you loosen him to go free? No, I'm going to send the presence of Yahweh, which he's going to run and skedaddle as fast as possible, and send angelic hosts with their mighty swords and their flames of fire, or the seraphim with the eyes and their wings, and they're going to bring so much glory, it's going to break their hold and break their bondages off, even if they think they have a legal right, because the blood of Yeshua says they have no legal right in your life. Yes, and sometimes you have to deal with that like that. But it's always the blood of Yeshua says they have no right in your life. I've had to sometimes deal with stuff. Yahweh will tell you when. But most time, it's not for that. It's for you building a framework of your relationship with Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, and the holy angels of the Lord that are waiting at your command, waiting at your unction. Yes, move. I give you right to move on my behalf. I give you right on to move on their behalf. You read the word, Yahweh sent angels all over the place. It was angels ministering to Jesus. You look in the Old Testament, angels came and ministered. This is the supernatural realm. This is the heavenly realm that we function in. And the natural realm is where you feel you have to deal with demons and stuff like that. But you don't have to. You can go into the heavenly realm and invoke your right, invoke the authority of Christ Yeshua into the natural realm by his blood covenant. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I know I went a little long today. It's very important. And I could preach on this subject for a while. So get this in your spirit. Share it with a friend. It will help them. Go engage what I'm telling you and watch what will happen in your life. I know Yahweh's going to bless you and advance you in the kingdom. Once again, this is Segema Bay, Samak Gar Gemal, I am Bet Yod, Son of Light. I love you. You are so beautiful. Invite a friend to our podcast. I'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.